I'd like somebody to volunteer to start us off in prayer. Anybody volunteer? Okay, then you all have to say a prayer at the end, and I'll do this one. Okay, everybody stand up, bow your heads. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for the many blessings you've given every person in here. We want to thank you for all the blessings you've given our church and our friends, our family and our community, and even our country. And Lord, we just ask that we can get something out of the lesson and that your will be done. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities and most of all for you coming and dying on the cross for our sins. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay, so to get started, everybody needs to make sure they got a Bible. Open it up to the book of John. John is like in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and... And then, does everybody have a smartphone? I mean, I know all you young guys got a smartphone, right? You're way better on it than I am. Does anybody, raise your hand if you don't have a smartphone. You don't have a smartphone and you don't have one? Okay, but you have one? Okay, so you're going to look on yours, and you can look on hers, and you can look on one back there. Because your parents will tell you, I'm sure eventually you'll get one. If not, you're going to get one probably when you go to college, if you don't already have one. So who has a Bible app on their phone that is really easy? And when I say easy, like you hit the little app, and all of a sudden you could just type in, what would Jesus do? Or... how to get saved, and it just comes up easy, not all the complicated ones. Who's got one? You got one? Can you just say, if you guys, first of all, get your cell phone out, turn it on, but turn it to silent or vibrate, and then look it up, and the three people that don't have one, I want you to just to see it, and you tell them that app so you guys can all type that app in, and you can have it on your phone if you want it. Give us the name of that app so we can type that in. You should be able to go to Google or wherever your, whatever your search is, and then when he says it, you should be able to put that in there. What's the app you got? The Bible. Say it louder.
The Bible.
The Bible. Okay, when you guys hit the search on that, it comes up, it's got like a cross on the little icon, right? Right in the center of it. If you don't have one, that one's a free download. Everybody should have one. Because you guys are going to get into a situation at school in the summer where you want to look something up and you got your cell phone, but you don't have access and you're not sure exactly where it is in the Bible. So if you guys want, you should check it out with your parents, but that's one right there. So if you save that, take a screen picture of it, you can save it, and then you can ask your parents. I'm sure they'll be fine with it. And then download and make sure you got an app on there, right? So that everybody's got one on their cell phone. Because I'm sure we all have an app for something fun, like a TV show or music. Or me, it's like Craigslist and all these places we buy stuff. All right. With that done, if you want to keep notes on your phone, you're welcome to keep notes on your phone and on your paper. I'd like you to do it on paper for sure, and if you're quick enough, you can keep it on the phone because it's good to have notes that you can go to. All right. So a minute ago, I brought up what would Jesus do? Have any of you heard that term? I don't think it really says that in the Bible. I think that's just a study thing we've done. And when we were younger, we used to even wear little bracelets, right? It said, what would Jesus do? Well, when you're older like me, you still have the same thing. You're getting situations and you're going, what would Jesus do? You should be going that. Because if you don't know, there's some gray areas out there, right? There's a lot of gray areas. And in the gray areas, what would Jesus do, right? So, what I don't always know the answer to everything. I just know where to go to get the answer, right? Now, I know that you guys have friends, and that's where you're going to go first, probably. You're going to go to your friend that's Christian, ask them a question. I got this situation with somebody at school, and then you're going to ask your friend. I think that's what most people do first. Well, you should have already, and you probably have already heard the answer in the Bible, but you ain't sure, whatever, and sometimes you're trying to figure it out. So you ought to be able to look it up, look things up, talk with your friends, and make the right decisions. Because if you make the wrong decision, who pays the price? Only you, right? If I reach and stick my finger into the fire at the campground, who's paying the price? My mom might say no and yell at me and I might get in trouble for it, but I'm the one that got hurt. So I try not to do that. So going through John is a chapter in the Bible. The reason I give you a verse yet is because I want you to put on your paper chapter 1. We're just going to write all the chapters. 25 chapters, so you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way to 21. We're just going to do a short little statement, however you want to word it, on what that chapter's about, so you kind of know. Because this is what John's about is about Jesus, right? Almost the whole book. So in chapter 1, does anybody know? Does anyone even know what happens in chapter 1? Anybody got a guess? Well, it's probably going to talk about him being born, right? In the very beginning, just like it would be you. Right? So in chapter 1, you know, I'll read you a little summary of it. It says chapter 1, it contains what has often been called the most beautiful passage in the scripture. The first 18 verses meet Jesus. Famous cousin who appears in the chapter. Who's that? And proclaims Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he will take away the what? You know he doesn't take away? The sins of the world. You should all know that, right? Okay. So, that's the beginning. So, all of us talk about that. And what do we do around Christmas? It's all about, Christmas is all about what? Right. Right. You guys should know that one. I know my daughter should know that one. So, okay, then into chapter 2. On chapter 2, open your Bibles to chapter 2 on John. Skim through it and somebody tell me quick, just go through it. You probably already read it before, and tell me one thing that seems like it stands out in that chapter. Right, he got mad. And we kind of celebrate that sometimes on TV and stuff, right? About getting mad. So when you're angry, you could look at this and, you know, you're not Jesus, but he went in and did what? Turned some tables over because they were doing the wrong things in the... Where was he? In the temple. And so... If you put that on your sheet, so right now you got, okay, the birth of Jesus, which is the beginning that we, and a lot about Christmas and stuff like that, and then chapter 2, you could summarize it with, well, he got upset, and I might need to look at what happened there, and we go into chapter 3, and I know you can't read these as fast, but you can pick stuff out of them. Chapter 3 is probably the most famous one in the whole Bible, right? Does anybody know what it has in it? Anybody know? John 3:16. There we go. I'm sure you've heard of it. So, everybody knows what that one says? Somebody read that one, since it's the most famous one, so we all know it. Who can read it? Amanda, you can read that one. Right. So why do you guys think, anybody got an idea? Why is that the most famous one? Just somebody picked it out and then they all kept saying it and it got famous? Right. It's the most important thing he did, right? So even at you guys, when you pray, do you always thank God for dying on the cross for us and coming here and dying for our sins. Because you know the Old Testament, they did all these things to cover sin, right? And in the New Testament, he came to save us from our sins, and that's why that's the most important one. And that's why it became any deep. There's several of them like that, but that's the most famous one. Okay, so chapter 4. Look through it real quick. See if you can pick out anything out of chapter 4. He's talking about the woman at the well, and we probably all know that. Okay. Who's a good reader? Nobody's going to raise their hand? All right, you got to be a good reader. Okay, read that chapter. And everybody listening is going to go through it. If you follow along, you should be able to catch it.
Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, but Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city, Samaria, which was called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, before him, was weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drink in front of himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst or come to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband." Then he spoke truly. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that no one knows that Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Wouldn't believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship know we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "Who speaks to you? I am. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Did you not say, there are still 4 months and we come to the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he for this, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that is which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Some of the Samaritans had come to him, and they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, where Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman who was suddenly sick in Cana. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. But he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever had left him." So the father knew that it was at the time, at the same hour which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, his whole household. This again is the second son that Jesus did when he came out today to Galilee.
All right. Now, I know nobody wouldn't do that, but you probably didn't think you could read a whole chapter just like that, and it's probably you would have been nervous if I gave you a warning ahead of time and said, "Hey, you're going to read this." You'd be like, but he read it awesome, didn't he? And what we can learn from that, let's just give me some, what did you guys get out of that? Did you guys get anything out of that? Was it hard to hear him? So there was a lady at the well, and what happened with the lady? Huh? Right? And he wasn't supposed to, right? It kind of shocked her, right? But she didn't know who he was, right? Who'd he say he was? Who'd he say he was in that? Right. She even mentioned it, right? And then he said, "I am," right? And so that's why a lot of John, he's telling us who he is, even though people aren't really understanding it, right? Well, when you guys talk to your friends, have you guys got any? Do you got any friends that probably do things you don't do? Any of you? You got some, right? Okay, so if you're talking to that friend, what do? Do you do what Jesus would do? You don't even think about that, right? You just go up there and talk to them, right? Especially if they said something bad about you, right? Then you're going to go up and say, "Hey, why'd you say that?" Right? Instead of, you're going to give them some punches already? Well, but what should you do? If your friend had said something about you to somebody else, or you heard it, you didn't know if it's true or not true, what are you supposed to do when you come up to them? This is your friend, not stranger. What would you do? Because I'm trying to take that times, put it into our times, and what would Jesus do in that situation? So would he go up to his friend and say, "You called me a bad name, and I hate you"? Right? No, he wouldn't say that. So what would he say? What do you think? Huh? He'd forgive them, right? And he might say something about it, but like, sometimes you have different personalities, right? So we all act different on our personalities. Some of you, has anybody in here got their room perfectly clean? It's perfectly clean right now. Raise your hand if your hand, if your room's perfectly clean and you did it, not your mom. Okay, so you, okay, so chances are you like to have everything straight all the time, right? And even when you were younger, you might have been that person that did not step on the crack, you stepped right in the center, right? Okay, so is there anybody else that's ever cleaned their room? Have you ever cleaned your room? Okay, everybody's cleaned their room, right? But then it gets messy and you kind of just go on with things, and there's a middle and then there's a real messy room, which is that one over there. And you all have different personalities, so you're going to talk to somebody different. And you do what works for you. But what we do know is if we go up and just nail somebody and question them right on the spot in their face, they're not going to respond well to us. So if we just go up and say, you said this about me and you should never do that and you're a bad person, that's not going to work real well, right? You need to go up like Jesus did. He didn't go to the lady and just immediately just tell her she's bad and she needs to, but he worked his way into it, right? And then she saw. Of course, we can't tell anybody that we're Jesus, but we just tell them our angle of, because we just want to help them a little and we want to forgive them. And the hardest thing we do is not forgiving, right? I think we all deal with that at some level. Everybody has had you guys in school probably have all had a teacher you thought did you wrong, right? Didn't grade you right or talk to you wrong. You got to forgive them and move on. Okay. If we go into, that was chapter 4, right? Okay. Let me see. You guys got that song ready? Okay, this is an older song. I want you guys to listen to it. It's a story song, so you ought to be able to follow it. And I want you to write down on your piece of paper after the song what you get out of the song. So just listen to the words of the song and what is this song talking about. All right, were you guys able to hear that? Most of it? Did you follow what happened there? What was that? What was that story? It was a story song. Right. And they've got movies about that. We've seen them, right? And at the very end, what was the last thing he said to his children? Anybody know? He said, watch the lamb. Who's the lamb? You know what he's talking about? You think he was talking about that little sheep in that song? Or what was he talking about with his kids? Right. The lamb of God, right? So it's watch the lamb. So in the beginning, you know, I skipped quite a few chapters right there. So that one would be the chapter. And if you got your papers and you got all those chapters in between, in chapter 19 of John, that is the crucifixion, and that is somewhat that story right there. So right before it, what happened before it, the betrayal, which you guys probably have all studied. So then when you get to chapter 20, what probably happens in chapter 20 if you haven't read it? He just got crucified. What happens next? That's right. He raises from the dead. And so if you're with your friends and you have anybody that's open to you, or maybe it's your parents, maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's a cousin or whatever, and you're talking to them, what are you supposed to be telling them? Are if they're struggling with sins and stuff, and then you're thinking they're kind of like the lady at the well, well, you can't tell them you're Jesus, right? But what do you tell them? You forgive them and you tell them the story of this whole book of John. Now, you're going to summarize it different each time because you only got that much time and it might be an ongoing thing, right? So if we can do anything for anybody, what we could do is share this, right? Why are Christians being persecuted even in America a little bit? Because of God? Most people don't talk about God because they think all gods are the same and stuff. I don't really know what they think. But we get persecuted because of Jesus, right? I mean, that's the word that's the one that gets us. That's the one that everybody's upset about. And that's what was happening in that song right there, right? So when you're thinking, what would Jesus do? Now we'll go to the last book, into John 21, 25. It's the last verse. All right, somebody that hasn't read yet, who wants to read that? It's just one verse. I'm not giving you a whole chapter. Anybody, you want to read that last one? You don't want to read it? All right.
We got a
choice. Huh? When do you guys want to read it? Last verse. I know you both can read. Here we go. Okay. Have any of you ever wondered that? We just get what the book of John says and some other New Testament stories about Jesus' life, and we're thinking, it always says he performed a lot of miracles. We don't even know what they are, but we kind of like miracles, right? But we don't know what all of them are, but there are so many that it couldn't be. So there's a reason why these ones are pulled out, right? Because how was the Bible written? Does anybody know? Did Jesus write the Bible? Yes, no? If you think he wrote the Bible, raise your hand. Okay, he didn't write it. So who wrote it? Many people, right? And with the inspiration of, and some of them, with the actual being able to see, that's what John was there. So, when you're reading the Bible and we're studying it, you know, it's sometimes you look at it and it's the same story, but it's not the same story if you try to put it into talking to somebody today about what just happened, you know, or all the things, even the fun stuff, right? So you try to put it in perspective. And that's a little bit kind of like that song did in a way. He kind of put it in perspective with his kids, but then he wants them to watch the Lamb. So, with the many different things that he did, and we don't even know about those, when we look at the ways that Jesus talked to people, the way he reacted with people, does any of you guys know what parables are? What's a parable?
It's like the story that
teaches you something.
It's
a story that teaches you, but how does it teach you? It's a little different than just a straight story. What's the difference of a parable? Right, like I used to call it third party. I don't know what, but in my small brain. But he tells a story, but it's not directly to them, but it is directly to them. You know what I mean? Any of you ever done that? I know you've done it with your parents, right? Trying to get something, and you're talking about something else, but you're trying to get something else because you want something. My kids do it to me all the time. There's a professional right back there at parables. But that's how you got to talk to your friends too, right? Sometimes you do that, and sometimes Jesus talked direct. Sometimes he talked in parables, depending on who he was talking to. All right. I know it's hard to read a whole chapter, and I thought I'd just challenge you today.
Thank you.
Sometimes you have to get challenged to do something to get out of your comfort zone. I have a little one back there. I have to do that too now and then. And so when you're thinking about, I'm trying to put things into perspective into school and right now. So in a minute here, when we do a prayer, I'm wanting you all to come up with something that you want to pray about. Maybe you want to pray about a friend or a whole school, or you want to pray about, some individual in your family that has nothing to do with that. Now, I don't know if any of you know, but I just found out, but we all need to pray for Gary's mom. He's down there, and I guess she's struggling. I don't know all the details. He didn't tell me, but I heard about it. So, and when you have questions on things and you don't know how to talk to people, if some of you have really good parents that study heavy in the Bible and they got great answers, and some of you, you're hoping they'll come to church with you. Well, you always have the leadership here that you can ask questions about, and you should be asking them some questions. You know, you got great leaders here that have good stories and all different personalities, and they all talk to you guys different, right? So, think of something that you got in your mind, and maybe write it on your paper, and if you're too scared to bring up what to pray about in front of everybody, then I want you to pray alone about this some area. We all have areas. I have a lot of areas I got to pray about. And how do you guys talk to God? Does anybody talk to God? How do you talk to God? Praying? And praying in any other way? How does God tell you something? Through the Bible? Right? Where else? Every day at life, right? Yeah, Gilbert kind of ran into some things, and all of a sudden he couldn't come up, and he called me kind of last minute to put this together, and I had nothing. And then somebody came to me this morning and talked to me, and all of a sudden I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to do John. And what would Jesus do? Because I got talked to by somebody. And so sometimes we get all these different things. And how do we know when it's God talking to us and when it's not? We know if it stands right in the Bible, it is right, right? Because you're going to get back to them gray areas we talked about. When you get to the gray areas, what would Jesus do? Well, that straightens you out, right? I have a young couple here that just have a brand new baby, and you saw him running around here earlier, right? Entertaining all of us with his ball. Well, when you're raising a kid, and you guys will get there someday, if you don't know how to do it with your kid, what would Jesus do? Well, you do it yourself right now with your friends and with your family. So, because sometimes we just do things for fun, or at least I used to just do everything for fun. Well, sometimes you got to do the right thing, you know, it ain't fun, and sometimes it is fun, and overall it's the right thing to do. Okay, so everybody stand up. And you can put your books down and get in a big circle. Okay, I know this is, I always like doing this because I used to do the third grade here, and I did it with third graders, and you guys are a little bit older than that. Well, maybe not all of you, but most of you are. And what I'm gonna do is we're gonna hold hands, and we're going to pray, and he's going to start it, and then we're going to go around like that, and I'll end. And when you're done praying, you gently, Amanda, don't hurt anybody, gently squeeze the person next to you, and it means it's their turn. If you don't have anybody that you want to pray for, I can understand that, or you're too scared, I can understand that. I at least want you to ask God or thank God for our church or your parents. I mean, we should all do that all the time, right? Okay? But if you have something you want to thank or ask, then let's do it. All right? So, dear Lord, we want to thank you for everybody here, all these kids that you've blessed, and we ask that you can help all of them and us to go out and teach your word and let what we've learned in John be seen by other people. And we just thank you for the opportunities you've given us and the opportunities you've given our church and our community. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Sit down again. Take your papers out. Fold them up. Put them in your pocket.